Start rolling into show number 64 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. I am your host, Stuart Howe. And if you're listening live, today is June 11th, 2022, here on RBN. And I've got a great guest for you guys today. He's actually a gentleman that was on one of the guests last week, and I wanted to have him on for a whole show because he's a great guy. I'm actually working in the background now to get him on. He'll be in the green room in a minute, and then we'll bring him in. So bear with me while I get our logistics going on here. I hope you guys had a good week. I know it's crazy out there. I'm in a beautiful place. I'm in North Idaho, and it's rather calm here. I'm really blessed to be up here. There is a lot of really good people, and it's a really nice place to be. But that is not the case in a lot of the world. A lot of the world, you know, as we know, is going through it, and my heart goes out, and I think we're kind of in a little calm spot here. I can't imagine them not doubling down and bringing back mask mandates and more oddness. They've ramped up the active shooter stuff, and it looks like they're really pushing this agenda for more surveillance and more medical tyranny. Through under the guise of, now it's monkeypox, and Lord only knows what it'll be next, gerbil pox, some craziness. But we are on the verge of, it looks like, having a global-backed situation for, let me go to my notes here and see if I can pull up exactly what they're calling it. The World Health Organization is pushing for a COVID pandemic oversight, a treaty whereby all the member nations are going to be ceding their power and control and oversight through the United Nations Security Council to a global governance. And so when they declare a pandemic, real or fraudulent, and we can see the degree of fraudulent of late, the last few years with all this other ridiculous nonsense, then they're going to have the global authority to mandate whatever they decide to mandate. And basically that's going to be the end of United States sovereignty. We are going to be accountable. If they pass this, they're going to expect us to be accountable. Lord knows it's not really going to happen the way they want it to an international, unelected, unaccountable body of would-be ruling class, psychopathic ne'er-do-wells and scallywags. And I cannot see that actually happening. There are going to be some people that will continue to lay down and go along with anything. That's been distressing to see, but there are a lot of us who have drawn a line in the sand and aren't going to be injected with their poisonous DNA altering crap, and we are not going to put on masks, and we are not going to do their lockups and their BS, because it's all based on a fraud. It's all a power grab, and at the end of the day, it's all a Luciferian satanic backed culling of the population and a further enslavement of the population. And a lot of people on one level or another are aware of it and are deciding, no, these people are all liars and con artists at the top of these corporations and governments and media and even academia, and we're not going to go along with that program. So we need to build a better structure, a better infrastructure, and so we're not coerced into going along with their machinations in order to have access to banking and have access to whatever it is that they're holding over our heads as coercive power right now, is food shortages, supply chain shortages, and whatnot. You know, so let me go ahead and type this number in here and make sure that our producer is going to get. Oh, beautiful. Okay, there's word from our producer. We have our guest in the green room, and I'll bring him in a second. So that's where we are. You know, I brought our guest on, Mr. Michael Harrington, because he's a member of People's Rights, and he is a gentleman that has stood up to these bullies in the federal government and whatnot that have come and tried to take, you know, cattle from the Bundys, you know, Clive and Bundy and Ammon Bundy. And it's one thing to talk the talk, and that's always good, you know, to raise your information level, your knowledge base, and then talk definitively coming from a factual reference point. But to actually then walk the walk, you know, that's what it's ultimately about, and that's what our guest, Michael Harrington, is all about. He's just a great guy. So with that, I'm going to bring him in and stop ranting. Michael, are you with us?
I am. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, man, thank you so much for coming back on. I'm just a little frantic. I don't know if you can tell. I thought I could go and get laundry done and come back in time, and I raced in the door with all my laundry with, like, at least 14 or 15 seconds to spare before showtime. So thanks for coming on, and thank you, Sam, for rallying and getting that on. Well, for the people that weren't on last week, could you go ahead, Michael, please introduce yourself and let folks know, you know, kind of why I brought you on.
Cool. So I did notice one thing I think ought to be corrected.
Okay.
I actually wasn't a part of the Bundy standoff in 2014 or 2016. My standoff was back in 2020, and it was the same thing, the federal government stealing land from people. I mean, it was the exact same thing, just a different standoff.
Got it.
So just a little bit about me. I'm, let's see, what's today's date?
The 11th, I believe.
Yeah. So here in about 2 weeks, I'll be 21. I got on my first federal standoff at the age of 19. I stood off to the state just a few months after that, the state of Utah. I've been working for Ryan and Clive and Bundy for about, give or take, a year and a half now. It's been the best year and a half I've ever had. I've really learned and I've really grown. Historically, I come from a pretty long line of ranchers and cattle farmers and sheep herders and a lot of that stuff. So I've kind of ancestrally grown up with it, but lately it's really kind of filled my shoes, and especially standing up with the government. So,
yeah, absolutely. And how would you characterize this agenda that's behind the government push, whether it was the earlier Bundy Ranch standoffs or the you know, more recent ones that you were a part of? There seems to be a common theme. They're coming after individuals and our ability to take care of ourselves and feed ourselves and have sovereignty. How is it? What does that look like from your perspective?
Well, as you said, someone who's actually stood on the front lines, it's different, because it's one thing to talk the talk and it's another thing to walk the walk. Because really, what it boils down to is power and control. Like in the case of Bundy, you know, Clive and his standoff. They wanted the control of said area or said grazing rights, and he said no, and then he said hell no. And I've been fortunate enough to be in that same circumstance a few times where the government was just overreaching way too much. And like in the case of my Fed standoff, the FBI, a court, some local governments, they were all colluding together. And they got the sheriff's department to threaten physical force. And so we already had told them no. And then we said, hell no. And it's like, you guys need to just get back in your lane, calm yourselves. But the problem is they've had power for so long that it's just become an addictive high to them.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out it's not legitimate power. It's an overreach. They've overstepped the itemized enumerated powers of the federal government. They have overstepped that, and they've infringed on our rights as citizens of free states pretty yep. egregiously all over the whole country. Is that kind of how you see it, too, or...?
Yeah, exactly. One thing I think is very important is going back to like when the country was first founded, you know, we had 13 original colonies that were all their own governments. They got together and created a group, you know, like a national, which is known as the Fed. And they were these United States. And now it's turned into the, and therefore we've lost our sovereignty. The states simply don't have the power, and they simply choose not to have the power to stand up to the overreach of the federal government.
Yeah, that's a good point. I believe it's the 10th Amendment that makes it clear that the federal government is there really only to do a few things, and whatever things aren't relegated to the federal government, like printing money and you know, repelling outside invasions and whatnot, and not having a standing army, but you know, if we were to be attacked, and certain things having to do with trade, everything other than those few enumerated powers are reserved for the states and the individuals, and they have so far exceeded that scope of power that, like you pointed out, they've been increasing their amount of illegitimate power for so long that they just think they can keep getting away with it, and that's why I'm so happy that there are people, you know, that are standing up against that and saying, nope, sorry, that's not okay. It's not right, and it's also not lawful under the supreme law of the land, which is our Constitution. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say to that? I mean, what have you found has been really empowering about being willing to stand up to these bullies?
Something I found that's pretty interesting is you look at the current federal government and the overreach that they have. And, you know, the federal government's supposed to have checks and balances with each other. For instance, the Congress writes laws, the president vetoes the law. That's their check and balance. Or the Supreme Court, they, you know, disagree with the law or something, you know, they check and balance each other. What's become so interesting lately, especially under Biden's regime, is it seems like Congress and the Supreme Court or the judiciary branch simply just has no power anymore. And so that's how you get guys like the FBI and the DOJ and all of these things that are completely unconstitutional to step in and say, no, we're going to take this from you, we're going to take that from you. And I find it quite interesting because right in the Declaration, the Founding Fathers wrote that King George had standing armies in place taking what was ours away from us. And it's almost coincidental. Maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist. Maybe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But it's ridiculous because you look at the Declaration and you see the amount of tyranny they had and they were up against. And you look at the current U.S., and I dare say we're even more tyrannical than King George was.
Yeah, and there's also a technological overlay of the surveillance and the medical tyranny. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I would think we are, you know, being put upon even more than you know, what was done to the early Americans by the British. I mean, we're under more of an assault. They weren't, you know, they weren't injecting the colonists with poison. They weren't, I mean, it's worse now. So if it's more than justified, and I believe it's been more than justified for us to take a stronger stand and take our country back and get rid of what has become a criminal element in our government. I wouldn't say, you know, this is about getting rid of government. This is about cleaning house and getting rid of the lawless criminality, which is hand in hand with the corporate aspect, you know, which is fascism. Corporatism and government merged is, you know, tyranny and fascism. There's all kinds of labels you could put on it. You know, they're trying to bring back a feudalism, basically having a ruling class and a peasant class, and that's just not okay. And there's enough people in this country like yourself, you know, that are willing to stand and say, nope, sorry, you better leave now, otherwise it's going to get really bad for you and yours, right? Because that's kind of what it's come to, and that's what I thought we should talk about a bit, because I think we need to do two things, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about this more after the break. We've got a break coming up in 4 or 5 minutes. You'll hear the music come up. But, you know, we're at a point now where it's really good to talk about, you know, potential rules of engagement and how much we're going to take, how much abuse and how much, you know, killing of our family members and extended family and fellow countrymen, you know, by these injections and by being starved out and by having their businesses closed and, you know, suicides from people that just couldn't take it because the bankers have devalued the money and people have been locked in their houses and made to wear masks. And I mean, all of it is to the point where it is a defensive posture. They have us on a war footing that they've created by aggressing against us. And we need to think about, I think, doing two things: taking a stand, as you've done, you know, peaceably but forcefully against their aggression, and then also building an infrastructure of supply chain, you know, from farms and ranches and you know, manufacturing centers. We need to bring back some manufacturing goods and that stands apart from their system, so you know they can't just say, okay, well, you don't have access to the bank anymore, and you don't have access to food anymore, unless you go along with the Matrix program. Well, if we have our own system of food and, you know, goods production and distribution, they're not as able to do that. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's interesting because I'm right along there with you. I think shortly, within the next year or two, we're just going to see as I put it, an utter collapse, or as they put it, the great global reset. And right now, I think the biggest things are starting to establish, you know, ways to secure food, ways to secure munitions, you know, firearms. I mean, look at what Biden's doing with his new his big pistol bill. You're going to ban almost every single 9mm out there. Okay, good luck with that one.
Yeah, especially here in the, you know, in the Northwest.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you look back to like World War II. Back then, every single person had a little farm of their own, you know, a little garden, so that they could be self-sufficient for them and their families. And one of the biggest things that we've kind of started seeing through 2020 to 2022 and into 2023 that we'll see even more is grocery stores will start disappearing. You know, the food shortages and whatnot. And so I think cooperating with ranchers and with farmers and having our own gardens and being self-sufficient is really what's going to get us through this.
I agree. I definitely agree with that 100%. That we need to, as much as possible, start networking to get the food that's produced directly to communities. And maybe you've heard about this, that ranchers and farmers are being coerced financially to destroy their crops and destroy their livestock, you know, over fraudulent things like avian flu or mad cow. You know, they're really trying to kill off our ability to feed ourselves directly without going through their, you know, their food distribution channels that they have control over, and they can shut down and all that.
Yep. The quickest way to capture society is to simply take away their food and give it all to the state. I mean, look at what they did in Russia, you know, back in the World War II. They just starved their people until their people gave everything up, and then when the government held all the food, they said, you know, I don't think that's what we're going to give you, so why don't you guys just go home and die peacefully.
Yeah, Well, we're there again, pretty much. But as I said, again, with a high-tech surveillance grid overlay, which is, you know, even more insidious. But yep. I'm going to go ahead and invite people to call in. We've got a break coming up, and if people want to call in, I'd love to get people's input from different areas, what's going on in their area, or their thoughts on these matters. I've got a couple of call-in numbers for you, so if you have a pen, go ahead and grab one out there, and we'd love to hear you, you know, weigh in on these topics. Our call-in numbers are 512, the 512 area code, and then 248-8252. And again, that's 512-248-8252. And if you can't call that number, there is an 800 number. Costs the show a little bit, the cost of the station. So if you can use the 512 number, that'd be great. But if not, there's an 800 number, and that number is 313-9443. So 800-313-9443. Well, yeah, it's interesting. I think the concept of these little local popular farmers markets can be expanded on, and I'm going to work in my area, you know, to find out who the local growers are. I had a rancher and a dairy farmer on last week. Well, you were on with him, with Paul Herndon, Scott Herndon's brother, and you know, it's really, I think, could be a real win-win. I think. You know, to get their products more directly into the hands of the communities, and not you know, not going through these big corporate exchanges where the, you know, the government and different entities take a share and boost the profits. Hey, we've got a call. You want to take a call? We've got sure. Casey in Idaho on line 3. Casey, are you there?
I'm here, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's up, Casey? Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Mike. Sorry I didn't get back to you. I'm out in the field today filming this Pride in the Park event that we had in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and the lamestream media got their narrative, but I didn't want to step on what you guys are talking about, as it's very important, but I just wanted to quickly call in and report on the event in Coeur d'Alene today.
Yeah, please do. I mean, I'm happy to switch gears into that for a little bit. That is a very, very important topic also. Yeah, good. Take it away, Casey.
Well, like I said, the left got their narrative. We had a U-Haul truck, apparently, that was apprehended on Northwest Boulevard in downtown Coeur d'Alene right before they got downtown. I don't know how many people were in the back of this U-Haul, it looks like, but they're affiliated. There were patches that said Patriot Front. I'm sure some people from RBN know what Patriot Front is, but really interesting, you know, as far as people were somewhat expecting a false flag, and then for a U-Haul full of, you know, guys that were apparently going downtown with shields to stand up against the LGBTQ narrative. That's just what it looks like on the face of it. I haven't had time to delve into it yet, but I had about four or five faces as they unmasked some of these people, so we can do a little bit of cross intel. But you'll start hearing about it nationally. We had all kinds of media on the ground today, and I did film the there was going to be at this Pride in the Park event, which is supposed to be family friendly. They had a drag dance party, and you can see these kids were emphatically handing dollar bills to these drag performers on stage. That's something else. There'll be videos out on my video platform, North Idaho Exposed, here very soon. But I just want to report that you know, there was a counter protest, and it was all peaceful for the most part. I did witness a couple of arrests on each side, honestly.
Well, thanks for being down there, Casey. Just to clarify that, it's North Idaho Exposed. That's on YouTube. That's a YouTube channel, correct?
Yeah, YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, Rideon, basically all the video platforms. Depending
Excellent.
On what the content of the depending on what the content is, you know, it kind of depends on where it gets put. But as far as I know, I'll have this information up on YouTube fairly soon for people to check it out. It is very, very eye opening to see a bear cat today, and we had guys you know, that looked like soldiers in full battle rattle downtown Coeur d'Alene, and then we, you know, they had this U-Haul full of I don't know, I'm guessing there's a damn near dozen guys dressed the same, wearing these white masks with the Patriot Front paraphernalia and tags on them. So, you know, some people have said it's the feds. You know, it's very, very interesting. So there'll be more to come soon. I just wanted to report on that. And
I appreciate that.
The debauchery was alive and well downtown, yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, thanks for being there. And I want everybody to know that there's all kinds of great content on your channels, and a lot of different subjects are covered, and this will be a great report. And I'll tell you what, my money is on exactly that, that those guys are agent provocateurs, and I would bet, you know, anything I've got, that that is agitation propaganda, agitprop, you know, that's a Fed operation, almost certainly. I mean, that's like, you know, I would see if you can get somebody to follow them back to their cars and get some license numbers, and we'll see if we can find out who they are, maybe. I wish I could be down there, but
well,
I mean,
they were all detained by the Idaho State Police, the Sheriff's Department, and the Coeur d'Alene Police Department. So this was around a dozen individuals on their knees in zip ties on the side of the road. The Northwest Boulevard was completely closed off. It was quite a scene, honestly. So it doesn't feel right. It sums up here. So anyways, we'll be more reports on that. We also had senior editor of the New American magazine, Bill Jasper, was there also taking pictures. So there'll be some content in the New American magazine if anybody follows that out there too.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Casey. I look forward to seeing what we find out about those guys, because, you know, there's a long history of police, you know, coming in dressed as whoever to stir stuff up and give a bad name to, you know, patriotic Americans that are opposing this. You know, I mean, it's one thing if people want to go do what they want to do in private. I mean, it's people's rights to be as, you know, whatever they want to do, as long as they're not hurting anybody else. But when you start bringing kids into this, you know, different varieties of perversion, it's just not okay. And we know, you and I mean, when you research this, you find out, you know, there is a Luciferian satanic agenda behind corrupting youth, corrupting everybody, corrupting, the, you know, breaking down the family, because that's the strong unit that becomes strong communities. It'll stand against a tyrannical satanic government. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't looked into this, folks, please don't take my word for it. Look into it, you know, learn how to vet information, and you'll see, you know, this is there's a long history of you know, an agenda rolled out, you know, by government operatives, whether it's feds posing as FBI, posing as KKK members, or, I mean, you name it, the feds that have been caught throwing bricks and stirring up trouble at peaceful protests. It's a long and rich history of COINTELPRO and agitation propaganda. So, hey, thank you, Casey.
Yeah,
I've got
sorry to step on your toes there. I just wanted to bring you an update after the event today.
I appreciate that. Anytime, call in anytime. We've got an international caller holding on line 5. We've got Harry in India, hopefully still with us. Thanks, Casey. There he goes, everybody. Casey Whalen of North Idaho Exposed YouTube channel. But, yeah, do we have Harry? Harry, are you on line 5 there in the green room?
He missed a state. It's Harley.
Oh, Harley. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Indiana.
Indiana. Okay, I've got Harry in India on my screen. I apologize. That's not really a very strong Indian accent there.
I'm sure it's not. I just had a couple comments here real quick.
Thanks.
One is that, and one is a change of words, you know, to vaccination. During the Founding Fathers' time, it was called an inoculation. And the British actually forced, according to Dr. Thatcher, who was a surgeon in the, you know, military during the Revolution, and he says that they forced everybody was supposed to take a vaccination in Boston, or I'm sorry, an inoculation in Boston, and that George Washington, the soldiers refused, as far as, you know, most of the people refused to take it, but in Boston, the British said everybody had to take the inoculation for smallpox.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So I wanted to comment on that. And then I brought it up a couple times on the radio, but in 1953, according to a subcommittee on the judiciary, of the Judiciary Committee, before testimony before Congress, almost 1,300 pages worth, they stated that the WHO had basically been given sovereignty, jurisdiction over the United States and all signers of the WHO treaty.
Yeah.
So that that sovereignty surrender, it actually took place already. That was in 1953.
Well, they're wrapping it up. We'll be right back. But stay with us. We'll be right back on the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
All right, we're back.
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
White Rose Resistance Hour, and we were chatting about the overreach and the different stuff that the government has done here, with ceding power to global organizations. You know, we had a big change in 1947, and as has just been pointed out, we've kind of given sovereignty to the WHO and the World Economic Forum, and it's really been going in that direction pretty strongly. It's just becoming more overt and obvious. So thank you very much, caller, for pointing that out. And yeah, be aware. I mean, we have to defend our country from these globalist ne'er-do-wells. And so that's why we're here, to talk about doing exactly that. Hey, we've also got another caller. We've got Ricardo in California on line 3. Ricardo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, thanks for calling, brother. What's going on down there?
I wanted to just say I admire your guest there. Was his name Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Harrington, you know, being, yeah, great guy.
Being, what do you say, he's 20 years old? That's amazing. I was kind of the same. I remember being up at my dad's lake, and he had this army couple living in one of his guest houses. And when they met me, they said, "Wow, you look like your dad." And the guy said, "You hate the government too?" And I go, "Yeah, I do." So it's kind of funny. When I was a little kid, I just wanted to call and complain about this overreach of, you know, I have zero respect for the FBI and all of our three-letter, you know, NSA, you name it, Homeland Security. Just what's going on now, it's so pathetic. And I hate to think that we will be having a civil war. And I hope God steps in and gets rid of these idiots. But it's just pathetic to think about, you know, them being used as political weapons. And, you know, I watched that fantasy TV show January 6th last Thursday. I don't know if you guys saw it. I just wanted to see what the other side was pushing. But, geez, what a joke.
How was it? I did not see that, Richard. What was that like?
It was ridiculous. You know, it's just a ruse to keep people distracted from inflation, gas prices, no baby formula, you know, open borders, war in Russia, whatever else he can screw up, you know. So I'd like, you know, I just want to listen, but I just, you know, it's nice to be able to say it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I live with a lot of freaks out in California.
Yeah, God bless.
But I think
RBN,
it's going to
change.
I think it's going to change out here. I really do. I think people are waking up. They got rid of that San Francisco DA who didn't do anything. His parents were criminals, actually, terrorists, and they voted for him. That's how dumb they are. And then this guy, Gascon, here, emphasis on con, he's going to be booted. And hopefully, I shouldn't say it, but hopefully Biden will quit or fall or something. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thanks, Ricardo. It's always good to hear from you and you know, your take from Southern California. You know, it used to be a great place. It still is in a lot of ways. I love it down there. But man, it's got to be difficult, you know, being someplace where people, you know, everybody just puts a, well, not everybody, but most people put a mask on and obey the mandates, and a lot of them really believe what they hear on the news. It's just so different from how it is in Montana and Idaho and Eastern Washington. So I commend you for being strong and being able to be down there and represent down in Clown Town.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there are a lot of us that are very conservative. Most people don't speak up. I do at all times. I don't care. I have no qualms. You come after me, physically, mentally, however you want. I'll beat you down with facts or my fists. I don't care. But a lot of people are afraid. They don't want to be canceled. I canceled myself years ago, so I don't care.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I'll say anything. I'll say my truth. That's I'm an American. You know? And
good,
there's a lot
you.
Of pussies in the world. There's a lot.
Yeah, too many pussies, right?
So I'm getting flyers out. You might like this. It says, to all illegals, please call this number for a free iPhone or gender re-identification. And then it's a phone number at the bottom that's busy 24/7. I'll just put it around town on the flagpole.
Gotta laugh at this stuff. Richard, have you seen Benny Wills' weekly show, The Meme Monday night, Benny Wills' YouTube channel, where he clowns all this stuff, all the globalist rollout and the, you know, the gender bender nonsense. Ever seen Benny Wills?
No, I'm going to write that down. Is it comedy?
Yeah, man. And the guy he's one of us, you know, he's, I've been following him for years. He used to have a YouTube channel called Joy Camp. And the name Joy Camp came from, that's what they called the re-education camps in China. They were called joy camps, right? So joy camp was like, you know, a playful take on, you know, the irony of that. And he would just clown the whole conspiracy thing and, you know, how ridiculous all this nonsense is that they're rolling out. And it's the most amazing thing to be able to, you know, get a laugh consistently out of all this this stuff they're rolling out. Because, you know, as you know, it's hard to keep a sense of humor and to keep good-natured when you know, what a huge thing we're up against and how long they've been, you know, planning this end game, this takeover, this whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I mean, Benny Wills has been – and he's up here. He moved – he was in Los Angeles, and he moved to North Idaho, so he's a neighbor. He, you know, ends up coming to potluck dinners. And Heinrich and Lana from Red Ice Radio were up here, and Richard Gage from 9/11 Truth, and Owen Benjamin is up here. It's like – it's really amazing, the collection of folks that have all gravitated to North Idaho. It's really kind of cool.
I have countless friends that have left this area, left Los Angeles, for good reasons. You know, I'm praying that this Rick Caruso can come in. He's a businessman. He's gotten things done here, you know, in L.A. for many, many, many years. Plus, he's a very generous guy. I read that he, two places, that he has tithe like 20%. That doesn't even make sense. That's a double tithe. Tithe means 10%, but he gives away 20%. He's a double tither.
And what role is he going to be stepping into? What role is he going to be? Mayor. Oh, wow.
Between him and the evil Karen Bass, a congresswoman who has done nothing.
She's got the right name.
She's done nothing for anybody.
Karen, huh?
Yeah, yeah. She's done nothing. And this guy's done a lot of things. He built, you know, two of the biggest malls around here. And, you know, he does a lot for a lot of people.
Well, hopefully, so, you know, there'll be some people standing up that people can get behind, because it's certainly game on. I mean, they're certainly going to take it up a notch. We were talking earlier, Michael and I, about, you know, they're getting ready to roll out stuff they've war-gamed, the same way that they war-gamed the pandemic they war-gamed with Event 201, basically the exact same scenario. They war-gamed it out within a year of the actual pandemic. They wargamed the pandemic. Same way as they wargamed 9/11, and then it went live, and we actually had 9/11. They've wargamed out the shutdown of the internet and the, you know, the takeover of the grid with Cyber Polygon is the name of the drill, and they've talked about the dark winter upcoming. So it looks like, you know, potentially they may go for broke, and you know, because they've talked about how vulnerable our infrastructure is, and it would be the perfect way for them to actually initiate, you know, kind of a shutdown of the banking grid, maybe the internet, what have you, and then want to start it back up with the Great Reset and the new monetary system and whatnot. So, yeah, the Great Reset,
well,
that could be it.
Especially on the radio. But I think at that point there will be a million man march on D.C., and I'd love to see them all scatter like roaches. But I think this time it'll be armed. They think that January 6th was anything. January 6th, they weren't even armed. It wasn't an insurrection.
No, that was
I guess you could call it a mostly peaceful insurrection.
A selfie insurrection, right? That was just a joke.
Yeah, I mean, they were loaded. They've taken a lot of shots with iPhones, not one gun.
Yeah, no, that was a big PR stunt joke from what I saw. I mean, I wasn't there, but, you know, I talked to people that were, and I've seen the reports, and it just was theater of the absurd. But, yeah, I got to say, at some point.
It looked like there were some bad people there, but a couple of them were never even arrested. That Ebbs guy, Ray Ebbs or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a mixed bag of, you know, all kinds of folks. But what it wasn't, what it was not, it was certainly was not a serious attempt to take over the government. And, you know, at what point do you just disregard the government and, you know, just get on with it? I mean, it looks like really the government are just sock puppets for corporate entities and the global, you know, the global power structure that wants to roll out, you know, through Davos and through NATO and through, you know, all these UN, Agenda 21 level plans, a brave new world that sucks. And, I think DC is almost irrelevant at this point. You know, DC is just a bunch of sock puppets and corporate placators.
Yes.
And, we really need to look past the sock puppets at the real shot callers, because, Biden is a retarded pedophile. He's not a president. And, Kamala Harris, I mean, what the heck is she? I mean, she's just an idiot that's there because of, she's like off-white and not completely, she's more marketable.
Partly black.
Right.
I agree with you with corporations. Because if you think about it, what did the pandemic destroy the most? Small business, anything that wasn't a corporation, Amazon, all these big corporations, they profited. All the little guys went out of business. They paid them off with the PPE money so they could get the inflation up and absolutely destroy, pay back their debt, the corporation's debt, with weak money. Weak dollars.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely. Perfect. Thanks for pointing that out. And conversely, the antidote is doing the opposite and supporting small businesses and not giving any money to those effers at Amazon and not buying stuff from Walmart. We just need to take our money out of the banks. I mean, I hate to say it, but if people out there, if you're listening, and you've got money in the bank, you are really feeding your own enslavement. I need to detach from the grid more myself, but I've been divorced from the banks a long time ago. I canceled myself years ago as well and avoided the rush, we really need to start seriously addressing this and just withdrawing our consent and our financial support from the matrix is what it comes down to, I believe. I mean, what's your take on what we're talking about?
You've been cutting out for the last few minutes, so you can kind of watch you for me.
Yeah, we're a little garbled here. Maybe Sam in the control room there, our producer, can weigh in and let us know how we can fix the audio there, because I am getting a little bit of a garbled transmission there. Richard, you coming in okay? Do you hear me 5x5?
I can't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty garbled. I apologize, folks.
There you go. Now you're back.
Okay. Ah, there we are. Yeah, Sam, if you're listening, if you could weigh in and let us know what we might be able to do to help this. I can hear you guys now, okay? Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Michael, what are your thoughts about what Ricardo and I were discussing, as far as, kind of leaving the grid as much as possible?
I think leaving the grid's important, but going back to the great insurrection of January 6th, the great insurrection of the iPhone is what I like to call it, because I myself know, people that were there and whatnot, and it definitely wasn't an insurrection, but I do think that Americans need to start looking at the options we have and our rights that we have to start implementing new government and really bringing back the Constitution to our original government.
Yes, absolutely.
And quite frankly, we're Americans, so I'm just going to speak plainly. If that means to arms, then that means to arms, to speak plainly.
Yeah, I mean, it's past the point where we can really expect much remedy from the courts. It's going to, I believe, be people just saying no and, insisting in whatever way is necessary that this overreach stop and that, we be returned to the principles of the Constitution. Absolutely. I mean, we're there. I mean, the order followers hopefully will, to some degree, not follow the orders when push comes to shove, because they've got a lot to lose. And I think we're going to see more people taking a stand. And we're in good company. You know, it is no exaggeration that there are millions of people. There's 300 plus million people in the country. And there are millions of people that will just say no when, you know, another round of lockdowns or, you know, BS pandemic, you know, with air quotes, whatever they want to call a pandemic, comes around. And when people start to realize how many of their family members are dying from these lethal injections, you know, they're going to start saying no to this BS. And yeah, I mean, it's time we take our country back. And I don't know exactly how it'll unfold, but I'm really encouraged to see how many people are willing to, you know, address what's really going on and willing to, you know, to formulate a plan now to take a stand and take our country back and to basically just purge the criminality. We're not, you know, looking to overthrow anything. We're just looking to toss out some criminals that have assumed some illegitimate control. That's right. We're cleaning house. We are to the point where we are needing to become law enforcement and just, you know, get some criminals dealt with. And,
you hit it right on the nose where my next point was going to be is with law enforcement, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 in the Constitution says to provide forth, calling forth a militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions. 16, to providing and organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such parts of them that may be employed in the service of the United States. And it's so interesting because, like, taking away our firearms literally is treason. Because yes. of the Militia Act of 1789, I want to say, where it clearly states the government's job is to arm the people, period. Especially under those two and the Second Amendment. And so it's just this interesting paradox of, like, you look at Nazi Germany, the first thing they started doing was taking away their food. Then they started taking away their rights to talk. Then they started taking away their guns. And we know the rest of history. And that's exactly what they're trying to do to us.
Yeah, and it's not just there. I mean, there's a lot of countries where once they get you disarmed, you know, then there's been, you know, genocide, and whether it's in Cambodia or, you know, the Bolsheviks or, and we just can't. I mean, we got to learn at some point as humanity, we've got to wake up and say, okay, they've rolled this out over and over again throughout history. We know enough now to not let this happen again, and there's still enough of us that are armed and able to take a stand, and that's exactly why we're still armed. I mean, that's why the Constitution put the Second Amendment in there, is so that we can keep a potentially tyrannical government at bay. And if you look at the quotes from the people that formed the country, the men and women who took a stand against Great Britain, there's a lot of really great quotes about how the people need to be armed to the same degree as any military, with all of the latest, most powerful weaponry, in order to counter a potentially tyrannical use of a military by government. And so it's not overstepping anything. It's just keeping potential criminality at bay. I mean, I had a situation where I had a police officer cross the line and put his hands on me, and I neutralized him on the spot. And when it got to court, the judge said, okay, he realized that, I had just basically become law enforcement at the same moment that police officer became a criminal. And he let me off with time served and a $90 fine, because at some point, you have to push back. And so these order followers and this government is in danger of crossing a line and being so overtly criminal that we are forced to defend ourselves lawfully and put them down. And Larkin Rose, I talked to him this last week. Larkin Rose wrote a great article. Is when is it the right thing to do to shoot a cop? You know, when is it the right thing to do to square off with, whatever order follower is potentially going to follow the orders of their criminal chain of command? You know, the satanic pedophiles at the top of the totem pole that they don't even know are there, but they're looking at the orders they've been given, and they're like, well, you know, this doesn't seem right. You know, and a lot of them hopefully will stand down like they did in Vietnam. They stopped following orders and they started fragging their COs. And that's when things turned around, from what I was told from guys who were boots on the ground. It's like at some point, you know, the grunts in Vietnam said, you know, F this. We're just not going to continue to do the bidding and killing, you know, women and children, for a corporate interest and satanic agendas. And right. So it can't go on this way. I mean, we need to stand up. The whole world is looking to America. You know, we are the last best hope of the world of free humanity. And, I don't want to have to look my creator in the eye or explain to some children at some point in the future why I was a pussy and stood down when these assholes were taking over our country and the world.
Amen to that.
So, but hopefully it won't come to that. You know, I what Richard brought up, Ricardo down there in California, there is a chance that there will be, as there was with George Washington, from what I understand, some divine intervention. You know, he had weather recede before him. He had things to, you know, that could be seen as coincidences go his way. And I think if we stand up, divine forces help those that help themselves. And we need to, like, make it clear that we are ready, willing, and able to take a stand against these murderous criminals posing as, elected officials and representative government. They're not. They don't represent us. They represent an entirely different agenda. And I think we're formulating a lawful, righteous, reasonable stance against an assault on us in a defensive mode. And as we, begin to talk about this more, and we need to win the hearts and minds, basically, and we need to talk plainly, because, let us not talk falsely. Now the hour is getting late, and we are the watchman on the wall, and if not us, who, right? I mean, and there's a lot of great people out there with the training and the ability to come together and take a stand. And once that's seen, a lot of the people in uniform are not going to go along with these agendas. There are a lot of, potentially good people in the military and police that once they really get a view of what's going on and what they're being expected to roll out, they won't. And I don't think these would-be ruling class scoundrels are prepared for the blowback they're going to get. I mean, it's going to be like, the villagers at some point are going to take up pitchforks and torches and head for the castles, and they're going to need those deep underground bases. And when they go into them, when they go into their underground shelters, we're not going to let them back out. That's going to be the last we see of them, they can run, they can run and hide and stay hidden, and that's going to be their tomb.
Yeah, something I think, and I hate to give the government props on this, but they've done it so beautifully that I just cannot argue with it as a tactician. They have taken, what we consider to be the modern conservative, and they've taken what the modern conservative values are, and they've confused the modern conservative. Because it's like a lot of people called me conservative, and it's like, well, yeah, I agree on a few things, but not everything, because there's too far right and there's too far left, whereas my stance is in the middle. Because I've talked to so many conservatives that are like, well, I could never shoot a cop if he's coming for my guns. And it's like, well, okay, you're going to be dead with the liberal, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. We're all done. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for coming on. Yep. It's been a great show. folks, be well, be safe. I love you. Thanks again, Michael. We'll see you next week, God willing, in the River Don't Rise on the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.